Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Oh my goodness, do you love Todd? Come on, Todd and Lily. Lily, where are you? Lily, I know you've been trying to raise this man up for years. He's still totally out of control. Well, good morning, All Nations Church. Good morning, family of God, most exalted and glorious ones you are. And all of our extended family, it's 11:11 at this moment. Can you say amen, fanatic prophetic people? Isaiah 11:11 declares, thus says the Lord, I will set my hand again the second time to recover the remnant of my people. Look at your neighbor, say, pursue, overtake, recover all. Now I want you just to prophesy and declare over them, this year is a year of restoration in God's glory. Come on, come on. Put your hand on them. Say, we agree. I agree with you that everything that has been lost in health, in finances, in relationships, in favor, in honor, in joy, will be restored. Say, no fear. Now look him in the eye. Look him in the eye. Say, listen. Neighbor, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Say, neighbor, God, tap him on the head. God has given you, husband, tap your wife, say, given you, wife, tap your husband, say, given you, power and love and a sound mind. Come on, can you say hallelujah? Give somebody a hug. Hallelujah. I bring you babies seated, or you can jump up, run around, lay down, roll around. It's All Nations Church. We're family here. Take your shoes off. Just fresh off the press. Pastor Mahesh and Michael send their love and their greetings. They're with us present today in the spirit as they are also ministering the glory to the big Holy Ghost Lutheran Conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota in January. Come on. Somebody asked me, several people asked me in Washington. As you know, we've just come back from the events in Washington, D.C., and I plan on bringing you a report, hopefully briefly, this morning, but I want you to know you were well represented and present in all of the events occurring there for the glory of the Lord and in recognition that truly in this hour, and I'm not talking about natural events, but I'm saying natural events on all sides are all working together under God. And you got to hear me now, because God, the God of the cosmos, he's the one who draws together, and he's not a God of chaos, you know, who presses apart, and he's up to something. It may be a little wild ride for a moment, but he's up to something. So I want to bring you a report. But hot off the press, many of the folks in Washington, when they saw me, they asked about Pastor. And I said, well, he had a previous engagement with the Lutherans in Minneapolis. And they said, does he love Minnesota in the wintertime? I said, no, but he loves the Lutherans. So this is from just a few moments ago. We just ran into a couple in the hotel lobby who received prayer for stage 4 cancer for the husband, Terry. He'd been diagnosed with stage 4 liver and pancreatic cancer. He had just gotten treatment at the Mayo Clinic on Friday. Pastor prayed for him last night, and after prayer, the swelling in his body kept shrinking and shrinking and is now completely gone. He is pain-free. And he is going to get a good report from the doctors. Katie, tell somebody, this is a year for miracles. This is a year for miracles. And I did see some of the video. And they're in the glory up there. You know, Pastor. And they are in the glory. Miracles are happening. So they send their love and their greetings this morning on that. Praise the Lord. We're so thankful for you, you generous people. You're sold out, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing because being sold out to the Lord, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added. I believe that we are living, each of us individually and together corporately, in this church family and in the body of Christ. We are living prophetically in an hour of opportunity to be real Christians. What does that mean? It means individuals and families and faith communities in cities that are sold out to first priority, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth now as it is in heaven. And Pastor and I, as you know, are so in love with you and so privileged. Feel so especially honored to be a part. And one of the things that I learned years and years ago in our years of extensive missions in the third world, and Pastor would go and I would be the watchman keeping the home fires and continuing to help lead and administer the church where we served under Brother Derek Prince and taking care of our four small children and the house and, you know, doing all of those things. But in that season, I discovered that in the realm of the spirit, thankfully, I was in more than one place at one time. Have you ever had that? I want you to know the Bible tells us that once we have died in Christ, we have also then been lifted up in him and we've been placed in a dimension in his presence. And uniquely, we all share the same him, the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, you'll meet somebody or you'll see somebody and they've got that twinkle in their eye. And you know that you know, I know you. You've never met him. I know you. And you'll approach and you'll chat for a moment, and sure enough, they're a believer. They're a citizen of heaven, and they look like heaven. Somehow they smell like heaven. It's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. And also, because we share him who knows us intimately, and we share him with many members, God will bring people to your mind, to your heart. Oh, you'll think of someone. That's the Spirit of the Lord. That's that bond of unity and love where we are members of one loaf. And it's the intercessor who's always standing in any gap, in any broken down place between the will of the Father in that glorious dimension where Jesus has finished it all, has spoiled principalities and powers. And we are seated in that place. But we're each a conduit. We're little ambassadorial representatives and points of contact of that reality. And that's part of that sound mind. It's a mind that is open and understanding the truth, which is beyond just what we touch and taste and handle and hear and see with our natural senses. We're living in a time where the nations are stirred. And the chaos spirit is agitating the weaknesses and the strengths of mere mortals, of humans, just natural thinking, natural feeling, natural experiencing. And church, this is, in our generation, our finest hour. Our finest hour. It is the time when truly the mountain of the house of the Lord is being raised up higher than all the other little hills. And so you'll find yourself in scenarios and situations that seem to be in opposition. Why are you there? You have been sent there to come into that moment and be full of the Holy Ghost and bring the revelation, the understanding, not with your mouth, with your presence, with your knowledge that you carry, and able to fit into those places and begin to help chaos come together in God's cosmos and harmony. I was very blessed when our new president, President Trump, said in his speech, his inaugural address, he quoted from Psalm 133, "How good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity." The oil that was on the high priest comes down out of heaven onto the least one. And there the Lord commands a blessing. That's the word of the Lord for this nation. And many of you know, I'm personally very sure that it is, because in those rare opportunities, which I did have, to meet with the Trump family and also for just a moment with Governor Pence prior to the election, much to my own surprise, when I touched the arm, Psalm 133 shot out of my mouth, and I prophesied that this was a moment where the anointing of Jesus was going to come on the family. God was going to create an opportunity by his Spirit, you see. There is an answer. But it won't be found in the wisdom or even will or desire of mere mortals. But God is helping us. And he comes, Jesus, present in the earth through his people. And there God commands a blessing. Look at your neighbor. Say, "I agree with heaven for you." And release a commanded blessing on your life this year. You know, if God commands a blessing, I don't think there's any higher commands or executive orders or anything else that can come up against it. So, hallelujah. So, yes, as we have two items on the agenda, and then the third. So the two items on the agenda is to give you a brief report of the events in D.C. And I have some pictures and a few other things. Would you like to see them? And I do want to once again recommend and commend the Watch and the regular keepers and participants here of the Watch. We have found, if you're looking for discipling in the glory of learning personally how to discern and communicate and flow with the person of the Holy Spirit, the Watch is the place that is set for you and I to continue to do that. It's a wonderful discipling place, and it's just a miraculous way. And we've chosen the Watch in this body as a particular, the particular vehicle of, typically churches have two meetings, you know, two gatherings per week, a Sunday morning, and then a midweek one. And we have chosen Date Night with Jesus on Friday night, the Watch of the Lord, to be our second service for this body. So if you're a member of this body or interested in becoming a member of this body, we encourage you once again to make the Watch a regular part of your schedule. When we started the Watch, we started it specifically on Friday night. That's not very natural thinking, because by Friday night, everybody is ready to go to the couch or to the bar. Happy hour. So we decided, why not? Let's just pull up to Joel's bar. Yeah. Joel chapter 2. Yeah. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Yeah. Joel chapter 4. And recover the years the cankerworm, hopping locust have eaten. So, and after, you know, being seasoned by being present. You find yourself in various scenarios where what's in there begins to come out and be administered in grace and power and miracles and revelation and joy, in lifting people up and helping to bring Jesus. So it's wonderful, it's beautiful. And I have the privilege of having been seasoned, rolled around and marinated in the watch with many of you for now 22 years. And so Washington, we were part of the hosting committee for the Christian inaugural gala and ball. And it was a wonderful event. Saw many, many friends. Everybody from Uncle Ricky Skaggs, who had not had an opportunity to talk with in person. He's coming down to visit. Hadn't seen Uncle Ricky for, it's probably been over a year. He, of course, was there. Of course, Lance, and Lance will be coming in March together with Quincy Goodstar and Joshua Mills. And, of course, Joshua and his wife were there. And you keep Quincy in mind for a moment because, as you know, today is the special winter offering for the Pine Ridge Reservation. And I'll be giving you a little more info in a minute, and we'll hear from Quincy on that. I want to just show you some of the pictures. We'll walk them through. After the gala and ball, the next morning was the inaugural prayer breakfast. We were asked to lead communion, and together with some of the First Nations chiefs, with Brother Jonathan Kahn, Alveda King, Dr. Alveda King, and of course David Herzog. Many of you know he's an extended member of this family, David Herzog, and many others. Terry McCallman was there to do the worship. It was wonderful and beautiful. So let's just look at a couple of the pictures that I brought back. After the inauguration, we had a special room in the Reagan Building where we were able to watch the parade. And in fact, I don't know what order this is going to be in. So the gala was the night before. Can we start with the gala? Or are we just going to give everybody a flip through of all the pictures? Aha! I think you recognized the woman on your left. That's Cindy Decker. Doesn't she look fine? And that's your pastor in the middle. You may not recognize me all spiffed up like that. Pastor and an extended member of this church family, Wanda Gaspar. You know Wanda and Perry from Austin, Texas. So there we were, all duded up. And in fact, that's nearly towards the end after we had been smooshed and being smoozing with many folks. Okay, let's see what we got there. There's a picture of the table. And this was to affirm and celebrate God's mercy. That was the theme of the gala. It was a beautiful, beautiful time. And they served amazing food. I was so impressed. It was actually delicious. It was actually beautifully presented. It was actually really exquisitely cooked and finished and quite well. It wasn't like, you know, I mean, you've been to some of those events. It's like a piece of chicken from the 15th century and fake mashed potatoes, you know, and something called gravy poured over and an overcooked piece of broccoli or something. But it was absolutely wonderful. And this is not exactly the one, but do you see that crazy person down at the bottom? This is something that came off of the internet. Heather and I just found this morning. But if you look at the bottom of that picture, Heather, do we have another one? I know you're working on it. This is a shot of the room of the gala filled with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of believers, of ambassadors, of important persons, and regular off-the-street committed praying Christians who had come to celebrate the new administration and to pray and anoint the incoming president, vice president, and their staff Do we have anything else happening there? Oh, okay. Well, let's not hold up too long. Thank you. That helps. And this was a moment that we just found on the internet this morning, because I think you know me. I'm not very good at going around snapping everybody's pictures and doing selfies and doing all of that, you know, the photo ops. And when the glory came during the worship, a wonderful worship band that is connected to a sister church that we are a part of. In fact, they call me a mother of the church with Brother Darian and Greta Somerville up in Virginia. Recently set in some elders there and other folks who actually are serving at the very center of some of the events in D.C. And as we began to pray, the glory came in, and I just did what we do. I prayed like we do. I was just, you know, in the glory like the watch. And what I didn't know is that the reporters noticed that. You know, when everybody's talking, and I mean, they're praying the anointing to come and come on the new administration and thanking God for the blessings in the nation and, you know, the history that we have and praying for a recovery and a restoration of peace and brotherhood. And so I'm just, you know, in the watch. Glory, shakaraba. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And so there you go. I'm just telling you, that's a plug for the watch. Okay, what else do we got up there? Okay, the next morning, the inaugural prayer breakfast. And again, offering prayers for the new administration and thanking God for his mercy. Some of the esteemed individuals that were there that morning: Dr. Alveda King and Patrick Henry. Which, on both instances, with both relationships, you probably know those are very special, near and dear to our hearts, because both of those individuals there, and Patrick as he's represented, hold a dear and deep place in our understanding of the prophetic vision for the nation. And of course, Dr. Martin Luther King and his family legacy in the civil rights movement. So that was a very special moment. Honestly, I didn't know that I would be seated at the head table with them. And so I felt like that was something from the Lord. And after the prayer breakfast, we were in the Reagan building, and I know you can't see it, but where all the white line is, it's a line of caps of the colonial army, or the revolutionary guys, the patriots, and that is the parade route, and we were just behind that. We did have an opportunity to sit in the bleachers right there, but the security was very intense, as you can imagine, and so we opted not to stand in line for possibly 3 hours in order to sit there in the bleachers and then deal with all the rest of that afterwards. So we did, of course, like many of you, we did watch it. Very well televised. How many of you got to see the inaugural parade? How'd you like the tractors representing rural America? That was wonderful. And I met many of those folks who really, and folks from the Rust Belt, who really have been the forgotten voices. The metropolitan areas have had the microphone, and it has given the impression that there's only one voice, one heart, one group of people, one face, one set of circumstances in our nation. But I tell you, I was laughing and just cheering and blessing the president. Is there another picture at the gala of me giving a big old smooch to this handsome young man? Yes. Now you may wonder why Pastor Bonnie is hugging up on and kissing up on this gentleman at the inaugural gala. I was talking to some folks and turned around, and this handsome African couple whom I had seen come in, and I'd noticed them, and I hadn't approached and, you know, and introduced myself, even though I felt very drawn to them, but I hadn't approached. I knew they were probably had all kinds of official business and important people they needed to talk to. So, later in the gala, I turned around and they were standing behind me, beaming. And so I was thrilled and I'm hugging and just saying, hey, and stuff, you know, something in the Holy Ghost, like we'd known one another forever. And he said, do you know who I am? And, you know, you got to get your preacher face on. Like, of course I do. But you don't say that because you're lying. You know, and then you say, no, I don't know who you are. And then they feel rejected, you know. So I just, you know, gave that moment of little sparkly face, you know. And he said, I am Pastor Mpoy's eldest son. Now, how many of you have read Only Love Can Make a Miracle? In Only Love Can Make a Miracle, you will see Pastor Mpoy many, many times and hear of him because he was our ministry leader for all of those years in the outreaches in Africa. And this is Pastor Mpoy's son, who was 15 years old at the time. Next picture, please. They still call me Mama Bonnie. This is he and his wife, and you'll see his tie there is for the Democratic Republic of Congo, and he is running for president of the DRC. Yeah, so I'm sure we'll be seeing and hearing, but it was a real family reunion. So that was beautiful. All right, so what else do we have up there? I'll tell you one thing about what this did. Oh, yeah, well, there you go. One of our friends, a generous, wonderful friend who happens to be a second-generation farmer in Ohio, was gracious to hire a limo to kind of shuttle us all around to all these different things during these 3 days. And after the second drop-off for the parade watch, for the inauguration and parade watch, the limo driver pulled away and went around the corner and was assaulted by a group of protesters who yelled, demanded that he get out of the car. They pulled him out of the car, and then they trashed the limo. So literally just hours before that, we were riding in that car. So, how many know Psalm 91 is really true? Yes. Psalm 91 is really true. It's really true. And you know, from the events here in Charlotte, we got a firsthand perspective on how the media portrays and projects certain things. And unfortunately, because it's all about money, what goes on your television and in your newsfeed are the things that sell. So it has to be the dramatic, typically the negative, the scandalous, so on and so forth. But we've learned firsthand that that's not the whole picture. Many of us saw the protests yesterday and the worldwide protests. Well, it was presented here as this is an anti-Trump protest. That is not at all the case. Yes, there were folks there who did not feel represented or didn't vote for the new president. But that march was organized by two women, and they have a myriad of issues, the principal one being climate change. And the second one being women's issues. And this had been something that had been pre-organized in advance in cities across this nation and in countries around the world. And so the protests or the demonstrations in India, for instance, were not against the new president. In London, likewise. In many of the Middle Eastern countries, likewise. You see what I'm saying? So, anyway, and there were a lot of believers, Christian women, who got the same kind of inspiration that we got here in Charlotte to go down into the middle of those walks and walk and talk and pray with people, listen to people, and have an opportunity to bring the kingdom and bring a higher revelation, a different perspective that is one of peace and coming together. So, very interesting scenario all around. Last summer, we committed ourselves and fully participated to engage as a blessing in the First Nations. And we went as a missions team, many of our young people and some of the moms and dads, and of course, Seth and Megan, Mary Nycomb, myself, we went, Kyle and McGlade and Scott Bennington went to run backhoes and tractors and put up fencing and dig ditches. And we had a wonderful, wonderful time helping to host something that was really very significant for the Bennett family and for the center of the Navajo Nation in Arizona. It was a huge blessing. And it has made a tremendous impact of your heart and your mission and your vision among the First Nations. The First Nations people have their own grapevine. And if you get on the good line of the First Nations grapevine, then you are embraced and received in a family way that is truly remarkable and wonderful. But anyway, in the course of the last couple of years, one of the other brothers that we've come very close to is Quincy Goodstar. And so as we were thinking about what to do as a missions church, an apostolic church has a strong, covenantal, vibrant, local community. Thus the life groups, connect class, the foundations, the watch, Sunday morning worship, and has a mobile leg that is engaged in advancing the gospel, i.e. our outreach through and in joint partnership with the Dream Center right here to the most vulnerable neighborhoods in our community. The basketball game coming up that Todd mentioned, you can see Ed about details, for instance, and beyond. So all of our traveling, those of us who go and your representatives who go, traveling are the mobile leg. And so it's the apostolic church of the New Testament. You read in the book of Acts, you see the apostolic, it's local, say local, stable, mobile, advancing. And that's the two legs of an apostolic church. So, you know, if you only got one leg, you're kind of hopping around, you know, trying to whatever. But that's the beauty and the glory of an apostolic church with a kingdom mission and vision. But most of all, we always remember we're just a servant of the Lord. We're just a servant of the Lord. And so as our winter mission, many of you have heard of, in fact, we've all heard for years of the Pine Ridge Reservation. And it's probably at the lowest on the scale of, number one, wealth, highest on the scale of teen suicides, of sexual abuse, domestic violence, murder, poverty, anyway. But the mountain of the house of the Lord is being raised up. And Quincy Goodstar, his name, his tribal name, was in English, afraid of lightning. But the Lakota name is lightning is afraid of him. And because it's so long in English, Quincy Lightning is afraid of him. So he officially got his name changed to Goodstar, indicating the star of Judah. You know, remember the first prophecy, one of the first prophecies about Jesus in Genesis was that the scepter, a star, would rise out of Jacob. And Quincy is a wonderful ambassador. Interesting about the Lakota Native tradition, which there is a great reviving of the Native religions in this hour in many of the tribes. The Lakotas have something, and many of the tribes share this, and they do this annually. It's called the Sun Dance. Many of you, years ago, there was a movie called A Man Called Horse. Some of you may have seen that, and that gruesome, terrible torture thing that they showed there as a way of punishment. Actually, that thing is an atonement that they do annually. A representative for a family has to live right. No drinking, no, you know, thieving, no violence, no, have to cleanse themselves for a year, preparing for the Sun Dance. And they literally tie themselves with leather thongs to a tree hooked through the flesh of their breasts. And they hang in atonement until the thing rips off. And that moment of the flesh breaking for them is the indicator that for a year, the sins of their family have been atoned for. And Quincy has said, is all I have to do is sit down for less than an hour with any of the natives that know and have followed the Lakota tradition and lead them very plainly into the fullness of the substitution of the Son of God on Calvary. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Yeah. And our spiritual granddaddy, my spiritual, Pastor Mahesh and I's spiritual father, Brother Derek Prince, who moved his citizenship from British to American when he saw the track of God and the Holy Spirit woven into American history and felt the call of God to this nation and to its spiritual destiny. Derek was probably the founder of prayer and fasting for this nation way back in the 70s. Intercessors for America, Brother Gary Burgle, came up out of Derek's inspiration and preaching and teaching. We walked together at the initial phases of that for many, many years. And of course, now it has become something that is much more common in the idea of Christian Americans. But you have a very rich heritage in that destiny in this nation. And the unfolding current events, we see ourselves more and more impacting and at the center of things as we continue our ethic of who we are. We're an apostolic people. Watching and praying, Jesus said, will I find faith on the earth when I come? And he was referring specifically to his own statement, watch and pray. Tell your neighbor, watch and pray. Watch and pray. And Derek said that the key to America fulfilling her spiritual destiny in God of being a blessed nation, a city set on a hill and firmly established in justice and righteousness and peace and prosperity, the key was the First Nations. He said that many, many years ago. So we find ourselves once again as a family, really unintentionally, but just following the cloud of the Holy Ghost, right in the bullseye of God's history. And history in our nation. So I want to bless you and thank you and just revive and re-excite you about the relevance of your participation in this body and in the kingdom of God in this hour. So we have a little word from Quincy. We've decided our winter mission will be for the Pine Ridge Reservation, specifically for heating oil, for natural gas, for the propane tanks that heat the homes of folks on the Pine Ridge Reservation. So just watch this.
Hello, I'm Pastor Quincy Goodstar of the Miracle Center in Rapid City, South Dakota, and I am speaking to you from the Pine Ridge Reservation in the community called Manderson, and we just want to say thank you for partnering with us to reach the people in communities like these to supply them heat this winter. Our area has been hit with what we call a polar vortex this year, where Temps have been -7, -4, zero. Right now it's 14 degrees and it feels nice and warm. But we just want to say thank you, because we have received reports over the years that of people passing away because of lack of heat, people burning clothes because of lack of heat. And here, the median income is, on average, is $2,500 to $3,600 a year. And we desire to use this propane as a supplying heat to the people as a way to reach them for Jesus. And so we just want to say thank you for donating. And those of you who desire to donate, we are believing with you that Jesus, he will provide you seed, because he says that he provides seed for the sower. And so I just want to pronounce a blessing over you and say
you
a prayer for you.
You can receive this blessing.
And by the way, the funds are going to fill these propane tanks like these. And so, Father, in Jesus' name,
amen.
Father, bless all those who are giving, amen, donating to provide heat for your people, in Jesus' name. And Father, those who desire to give, Father, bless them with seed to sow. Father, because you say in your word that you provide seed for the sower, and bless them back even 1,000 times more than what they have given. And Father, thank you for doing it all, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I tell you, our Father is so good. He provides you seed and then blesses you for sowing that seed. Our Jesus is so good. And we just want to say we love you. We're blessed to be connected. Jesus loves you more. And I'm excited to be with you all in March. So we will see you then. Have a blessed day.
Yeah, Quincy. Amazing. Amazing. So you'll get to meet Quincy together with Brother Lance Wall now and Joshua Mills, who will be here for our March conference. Proverbs 19:17. He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will reward him. And I believe there are folks in here today who are looking for and expecting and needing the reward from the Lord. How many of you know? If the Lord's reward comes, it's much greater than the reward of man. So we want to give you an opportunity. We've been speaking of this for a few weeks. I know many of you have prepared in advance what you're going to give. I'll give you an opportunity now to make those checks out. Make them out to All Nations Church. We'll be sending the whole amount. We're also inviting other churches and other families in the area and beyond. Those of you who are watching online, the give button is there. And you can put your offering in there and designate for First Nations Winter Mission. There, we also have other churches that will be joining and participating in this. And then we will take the whole amount, and it will be put into Quincy's hands, and he will go as the ambassador of Jesus, as your ambassador, to these folks to provide heat for their homes in this winter condition. So we're thankful for that, and God bless each one of you. As Quincy said, the blessing of the Lord come on that. And I think what we'll do is we'll just have the ushers with the baskets. You can pass those. And as they're passing, I want to just go to the word. We are living in the days of Isaiah. If you open your Bible, read Isaiah beginning at chapter 1:1 and read it through chapter 6 into 7, where Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on the throne. And all of the lead up to that great vision that he had was this. Israel was in a time of distress. They were surrounded by enemies too great for themselves. Internally, they had lost their way spiritually. The prophet said that they had come to a place that was so base, there was confusion in the land. He said specifically that they would rage, that children would speak against the elders, and the base persons would speak rage against the honorable ones, and that all was in confusion, that there were open wounds and sores in the communities, in the nations, that were not pressed together, were not healed. And God was giving a doctor's report of what was happening, and the people were in distress. They were heart sick. The Bible says the head was off, the heart was sick. And suddenly, in that moment, say in that moment, in that situation, in that time, in a nation, Isaiah saw the Lord. Come on. Come on. Jesus is revealing himself. And he wants you to see him clearly. Say, I saw the Lord. Put your hands on your eyes. Say, Lord, as I lay hands on my natural eyes, I pray, open my spirit eyes that I might see you as you are, high, lifted up with the train of your glory, filling your presence. Fill me, Lord. Here I am. And it is the very place in the very time that Isaiah received his commission. The great prophetic Trinitarian commission ultimately of the Son of God into the earth to become the God-man, to be debased and taken so low even to death that in him, because he is the God-man, that all of mortality, all of human flesh and frailty and weakness would be consumed in him. He would be the sin eater in his glory, and he would take it completely in his own body and put it fully under the full weight of God's judgment and justice and penalty, which is death. And the Bible says he was naked and in want of all things, thirsty, alone, hungry, abandoned, distressed in body, wounded, betrayed, rejected, God. And it says you were in him in that moment. And he was carrying you and all of that stuff that you may experience or have experienced. And he took it in himself and killed it at the cross. And aren't you glad that's not the end of the story? Because we're just dead. Something happened. And now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Oh, those 3 days. Some glorious goings on were happening. Because you see, there were people who had been waiting in full faith and hope of expectation of their Mashiach, the anointed one, the son of David, to come and sit on the throne of Israel. And they'd been waiting down through the ages in all kinds of generations. And now, once again, the nation had fallen into complete chaos and disrepair and poverty and neighbor oppressing neighbor and everything turned upside down. And then suddenly the only hope of any authority or identity or protection with an army or some kind of legal justice system, the king was dead. And then, saying then, I saw the Lord. Come on, saints. The intercessor has come to stand in the broken down place. And he has been lifted up very high. Great theologian Karl Barth speaks of this as the son who went into a far country, of how he became the most base and debased of all things in humanity. And you went lower than you even knew you could go in Christ. So when you find yourself shocked at your own actions or thoughts or whatever or what's happened and say, how low did I go? I didn't know I could be so. Believe me, you went low. But the good news is You died 2,000 years ago and didn't stay dead. Tell your neighbor, I'm not dead, but alive. Alive in Him. Hallelujah. But you see, oftentimes I find that our mentality becomes this, is that, yeah, we come up out of the grave until we're walking around at normal human level. Well, Jesus did that, but He didn't stop there. You know, a lot of the old saints, the Bible says, so great because it was cosmic. It was the God-man reinvigorated with the Holy Ghost of God that created the universe that was coming up out of that death into a glorious, imperishable body. And the Bible says you came up in Him. That's why Christians should not be afraid of death. And that's why when troubled times face us, we should not be running to our dens and rocks and caves. We should be right out in the middle of the marketplace where the mountains are shaking and falling down, because the mountain of the house of the Lord is being lifted up high above all the mountains. And you have a participation in the fullness of that. It says we came up in Him. And many of those old saints that had been waiting and had died waiting for Mashiach to come, when Jesus came in to Sheol, that waiting place, and broke the bars. And the Bible says He led a train of captives and gave gifts to men. He's speaking of the great ascension and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That you become more than human. Look at your neighbor and say, did you know you're a superhero? Did you know the Spirit of the Lord rests on you? You are lacking nothing. But many of us keep walking around down here at street level. And the events of street level begin to come on us and overtake us and slow us down to just being human. I'm exhorting you today. You are not just merely human. You are a new race. A new race. A new race. One blood. And this is a regenerated, resurrected, imperishable race of people called Christian. Glory. Many of those old saints, can you imagine being in a church back in the day after the resurrection, right? Or in a synagogue, would have been in a synagogue, right? So synagogue is happening as it normally did, right? On Friday night into Saturday, you know, whatever, Shabbat, so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, this particular Shabbat service in synagogue, Uncle Eliezer, that died 40 years ago, comes to service with a story to tell. Mashiach has come. We saw Him. He broke the bars of death and hell. What? And the Bible clearly says there were some 500 that saw Jesus after His resurrection, but many came up out of their graves and lived on until whatever eventually. But I can't imagine being in quote-unquote church with some, started to use the word dude. I told somebody, if I confess in public that about 10 days ago I started hearing myself calling everybody dude. Walking up to the ambassador from Mexico, dude. So I'm making this public confession in hopes that my tongue will be cleansed. And whatever lodged in there, I'll be delivered. It's not appropriate to say to Governor McCrory, dude. Help us, Jesus. We are more than mere mortals. And that's the truth. an imperishable race made of one blood. And this is the good news. You can see the Lord. You can see him. You can see him moment by moment as he really is, high and lifted up, and not far from you, but the reality that, as Scripture says, through the blood that rent that veil of separation, the great abyss, the great gulf between you and the Creator, who had you in mind before there was ever a molecule of your substance coming together in your mother's womb, that you are in his immediate embrace and presence. Hallelujah. He has overcome. And he said to his saints, in this world, you're going to have some trouble. Cheer up. I have overcome the world. So today, I bless you by affirming and recognizing that every one of you are actually, I was going to say, wearing a superhero cape of the glory. But then my own theology corrected me. Because in fact, in the Hebrew word language, beginning in the Old Testament, where it says the Spirit of the Lord came on him, it literally means that the Spirit of God puts a man, puts a woman on like a glove. He's put you on. He has put you on. He has put you on himself in all his glory. And he is in the earth, God with us, Emmanuel. And if there is anyone in this room or watching that has never had Jesus put them on, this is your day. This is your day. Say, put me on, Jesus. Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to be a proclaimer of good news everywhere I am. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's put me on like a glove. I'm in Christ. He's in me. Hallelujah. Come on, saints. Give somebody a high five. Let your heart, your mind, your body be refreshed and strengthened. Be encouraged today. Take a resuscitating breath. Take a resuscitating breath. Take a resuscitating breath. Thank you for your glory. Nothing is unforeseen by your loving eyes of glory. No circumstance, no unexpected trial or blessing goes unforeseen by you. And so now today, Lord, together as one body, we recognize together we are positioned with you and in you You who know all things and who truly is Alpha of all, Omega of all, and all the middle between. We embrace you afresh today. We inhale you afresh today. We pause for a moment and recognize that through the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ, something happened in my life, in my being, in my body, in my identity, in my purpose, in my destiny that makes me more than merely human. And now the oil has been poured from my high priest upon the head of me as his priest. Touch your head. Just anoint yourself, just as though you have a little flask of oil, just as an act of faith. Say, I have an anointing. Precious anointing. Priestly, costly, perfumed anointing. From the Holy One. Let it flow, Lord. Let it flow now over your people. And in your oil, bring healing. Deliverance from old shadows. Restoration for the soul. There are folks in here who have been struggling, just emotionally, just worn out. And you know all the stuff with your head. But you still need something fresh today that's real. That's beyond the pale of earth. And yet very present and powerful right here, right now. Welcome, Lord. Welcome, Lord. For our neighbor on our right and our left. You are welcome. You are welcome in our homes afresh. You are welcome, Lord, in our kitchens, our living rooms. You are welcome today as we go home, Lord, to enter afresh in through the doors of our home and bring your oil of reconciliation and healing. You are welcome, Lord, in every shadow place in our heart and mind, any fearful place or place where there's lack or absence, you are welcome. You are welcome, Holy Spirit.
You are welcome.
Yes, omnipotent Father, you are an ambassador of this grace. So proud of you. Thou art welcome in this place. So proud of you. Love you so much. Thank you for everything. You are welcome. Welcome.
In this place, thou art welcome. In this place.
Take your neighbor's hand. Jenna, in just a moment, with love for you and the band. Thank you this morning, by the way, and especially thanks, Frank, Dennis, the guitar today prophesied to us. Thank you so much. In a moment, we'll sing together and be dismissed. But let's just do what the church does, what we do here, what we do at the Watch. We'll agree together and let's pray for our nation, for the new administration, for the people from the greatest to the least in our nation, that the voice of the blood of Jesus that is speaking peace and healing out of the place that we dwell in Him in heavenly places, that the voice of peace and wholeness will come on our nation. Father, we pray today for your anointing. We pray for our new president, for President Trump, for Vice President Pence and their families. We pray the oil of heaven will come on them and create brethren dwelling together in unity, that Lord, you might command your blessing on every family, on every house, on every visitor and every citizen. God, we thank you. We pray for every member of the new administration and their families. God, we pray. We pray over the institutions. Lord, where there needs to be changes you've seen, we pray, come, God, like a refining fire. Come, Lord, like a glory storm. And we pray, God, that in the midst of what appears to be chaos, and particularly where there seems to just be bureaucratic weight and deadness that ceases to move the good things of our nation and keeps the people out there from being able to advance. God, we pray today that the Spirit of the Lord would come on us. The Spirit of the Lord would come on America. The Spirit of the Lord would come on the new administration. The Spirit of the Lord would come and God would be exalted in the earth. Hallelujah. Invite the healing team, the ministry team. If you need someone to agree with you on any point for prayer, for healing, for salvation, if you would like to become a member or are interested in joining more effectively to this church body, please come and let these folks minister and speak with you. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. There are miracles in this house today. We bless our pastor, Pastor Mahesh and Pastor Michael. Hallelujah. Thank you for your missions giving. If you didn't have an opportunity or had forgotten or were unprepared this morning, You can go online and give. You can make that check out. Bring it this Friday to the Watch or next Sunday. We invite you. He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. So, and we'll look forward to hearing from Quincy in person when he comes in March. And that will be a tremendous blessing.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.